Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Brace for Impact. I am the Impact player of Wrestle Attic Radio, Nate the effing great. What a show, against all odds, 2009 turned out to be. And also, what a great show I got the chance to see this past weekend with All Out Pro Wrestling, the Grantsburg Brawl. It was a phenomenal show that featured the likes of Leva Bates, as well as Crazy Steve being on the show. I'm going to talk a bit about that, as well as talk a bit about the show Against All Odds 2009, and some other things that will be going to the future, as well as things that you can expect from the Impact player, WrestleLike Radio, Nate the effing great. As always, you guys, be sure to leave a like no matter where you listen to this. If you listen to this on Spotify, be sure to give us a nice rating. Feel free to also share this with everybody that you know. We are across so many different podcasting formats, and we definitely do appreciate the love that you guys give us. It is definitely really appreciated, and it definitely does not go unnoticed. Shout out to the Kings of the Rings podcast, WrestleMania podcast, and the Young Lions Perspective podcast, fan members of WrestleAttic Radio, the Positive Cure for the Common Wrestling Podcast. And to everybody on Discord, thank you guys so much for everything that you do. You definitely give us some great conversation pieces to talk about. You give us some great opinions, and it's a very healthy environment. So if you get a chance, go check out the Linktree link for the Discord and be a part of the WrestleAttic Radio family, where you can also come to a place where you can have positive and very thought-provoking conversations with great people in the wrestling community. So I want to start with the APW, All Out Pro Wrestling, Grantsburg Brawl, and talk about the show itself. It was a fun show. It really was. We had a pretty decent crowd that came out, and I'm telling you guys this right now, they are not paying me, they are not asking me to do this. I am doing this because they are a fun show to go to, and a lot of the talent there has always been great. And this past experience, this has only been my second show with APW, it has just revitalized my love for pro wrestling, as well as really just helped me enjoy seeing talented people go out there and really showcase what they got. So I'm going to talk about the matches here. Give them their props because they definitely deserve it. These matches are not going to be in order. I'm telling you that right now. But I am going to give you guys my general thoughts about them. We had Bobby Brennan taking on Jack Ledger. Both of these guys did a great job. Bobby Brennan, I actually made the joke to him that he kind of reminded me of a more buff and more haired Jesse Godders. And he actually ran along with the joke, basically saying like, oh yeah, I remember my time in TNA. Jack Ledger is a great high-flying competitor. Also, Bobby Brennan hit a Canadian Destroyer. Actually, it was just a Destroyer, because what I established in the Discord chat is that if it's hit by a Canadian, it's the Canadian Destroyer, and it's always going to be a finisher. If it's hit by an American, then it's not going to finish the matchup. It is going to be a setup move. So, that being said, Jack Ledger picked up the victory here in a very hard-fought matchup. These guys went out there and they delivered very well. We had Jasper Ford taking on superstar Steve Stardom. These guys opened up the show. They got the people going. It was a nice, fun little matchup here. Jasper Ford, you can kind of look at him, and he kind of has almost like this cross between Wyatt family member and Duck Dynasty family member to him. And he was a really good powerhouse guy. Steve Stardom is a veteran of the Wisconsin independent scene. Actually, I think I remember he was actually wrestling when I was 14, 13, I want to say. I remember going to an independent show, and I believe Superstar Steve Stardom was a part of that. But Steve hit a springboard elbow to pick up the win in what was a pretty good stellar matchup to start. We had, oh, this crazy matchup here. We had the Black Diamond, Jack Price, taking on TNA's Crazy Steve. And these guys put on a great matchup. Crazy Steve won with a bite to the face and a roll-up. I did say it was one of the best finishes to any matchup, and I will stand by that. It was great. Steve also is a great guy to talk to because he's very insightful. He definitely is one of those guys who will tell you like it is, and he's also very respectful. I honestly am very happy that I got the chance to see him wrestle live and in person, and got the chance to also talk to him a little bit about, you know, what is the best advice you can give to somebody who's just starting out, somebody who's training. And he's given me some pretty stellar advice about how to really, you know, come out into my own, and also really just, be prepared for anything is basically what I can boil it down to. Just a very great guy. Loved talking to him. And I'm hoping that he continues to have further success. He honestly loved coming to the show. And I think he would love to come back again. Honestly, I am hoping that we get Crazy Steve back. And Jack Price, what a heel. What a very great talent. We had the Scumbag Army taking on Youth Gone Wild. I'm not going to lie. Seeing Michael Morris and I believe it's B.O.W. is the Scumbag Army's names. These two guys are fun to talk to. You get a chance, check them out. Michael Morris actually has a YouTube channel, so if you put down Michael Morris Wrestling, you will find him there. But these guys, Scumbag Army, pick up a win, and honestly, not since he's our asshole, or whatever that was for the for MJF, have I ever heard a chant of, you know, they're our scumbags. It was just fun. This was a fun matchup. It was great. We had the APW Women's Championship matchup as Maserati. Yes, you heard me say that right. Maserati took on the defending women's champion, Leva Bates. Now, I can say this. This was the one I probably had the most investment in. No disrespect to anybody else on the roster. Because right now, I do believe that Leva Bates is one of the sweetest, best human beings that I've ever met. At the last show, I said to her that if she won the title, I would get her an ice cream cake. And she definitely wanted to make sure that I was going to keep my word on that. And I did. I went to a Walmart and I found an ice cream cake. And not gonna lie, you guys, it said happy birthday, because I honestly didn't think that she was going to retain. Because in my experience, when you have a big star that comes in and they win the title, normally it's about one title defense, or they usually have it for like 1 month. So that was one of the reasons why I thought, you know what, I'm going to give her this. I'm also going to give her a book as an early happy birthday gift. Well, to my surprise, but also to my enjoyment, Leva Bates retained. So she is sticking around quite a bit longer. And she was definitely just fun to talk to. She's very wise and insightful. On Wikipedia, it says that she's 40. I refuse to believe that. She is somehow like the one person, other than maybe Patrick Warburton, maybe Danny DeVito, who somehow they just look the same as years go by. And it looks like they really haven't aged at all. So it was really cool to see that. Both these women definitely did a great job of creating a very, very well invested, emotionally invested matchup. And both these women have nothing to be ashamed of. They did an absolutely amazing job. We had Angus McDuff challenging Rob E. Rebel for the APW United States Championship. And these two guys had another great matchup. These guys were really fun. I did make the comment that actually I started a chant where I started calling Angus McDuff Angus Beef. And it's the first time I think he's ever heard that. It was just really fun to say. I don't know why. When I saw him, I just thought Angus Beef for some reason. Maybe it's because Angus Beef is legit a thing, but maybe it's just one of those things where I just feel like it works. It makes it. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It just somehow, it kind of stuck with me. But Robbie Rebel picked up the victory after hitting a stunner. Really good matchup. These two guys did an awesome job. I'm trying to think where's the... Ah, here we go. This was the matchup that I was looking for. We had Blair Onyx taking on Harley Fairfax. And honestly, I'm not going to lie. When I saw Harley for the first time, I legit thought that they had... I legit thought that they had Sarah Logan booked on the show. But she and Blair, another good matchup between two great women. And honestly, I was in shock to see Fairfax pick up the victory and see Blair Onyx tap out. I was not expecting that at all. And to be honest, I almost want to say that she used Blair's submission maneuver on her. I could be 100% wrong on that, but it was just one of those things where I was like, I was not expecting that. We had a Fenrir Ragnarok taking on Salem Lasher. Salem, big time hometown boy, got a hometown victory. Actually, he was probably the first babyface on this show to get a win. So he definitely started the matchup on a high note. And it was really fun to see. So they also had a five-pack challenge. A couple of the competitors in this were Kenny Nine, Zach Neo. They had Nick Pride involved with this one. I think they had a guy known as the Collector in there. I know there was one other person that was involved in there. And I really do hate the fact that I forgot to write this down. But Nick Pride picked up a win in this matchup. So therefore, he's getting a match for the United States Championship at the next show, which I will talk about in a bit. But another fun matchup. And all we had left was the main event, which was Aries Creed challenging Matthias for the APW Heavyweight Championship. Really awesome matchup between these guys. They killed it. And they had one of the biggest swerves in this matchup, in which they had Aries Creed come so close to winning the title. And then somebody interfered. Somebody dressed in camo going to reveal Robbie Rebel. As soon as I saw that, I legit lost my mind, because I just got done talking praises about this guy, and I also bought one of his shirts, and I just remember looking at that saying, "You SOB, I bought one of your shirts, damn it." But because of that, Matthias picked up the win, and Matthias will be defending the title, his APW heavyweight title, next month. And also, Aries Creed cut a impassioned promo in which he talks about how he feels like he might have let everybody down, but he is not going to let that, you know, hinder him. But he also knows that the person that cost him that chance was Robbie Rebel. So he challenged Robbie Rebel for the U.S. title, to which the owner said, not only is Robbie Rebel going to defend it against Nick Pride, he's also going to defend it against Aries Creed. So we have a triple threat match for the APW U.S. title for next month. I'm looking forward to that. I've had so many people say, like, hey, are you going to be there next month? And I said, yes, I will be there next month. APW will be coming to River Falls, Wisconsin, at the UW River Falls, Don Page Arena, presenting Honor the Fallen. Like I said, you have a U.S. title matchup. You have a world title matchup set up for that. And the special guest for this show is going to be WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. All honesty, that's going to be awesome. I've met Hacksaw Jim Duggan in real life. He's a really cool guy. He's absolutely a phenomenal person to meet up with, and I'm looking forward to hopefully meeting him again. It all just depends on how everything goes with work. But that was APW. Hopefully you guys get that chance to come see it. And here's the thing. When it comes to independent wrestling, wherever it is, big or small, go check them out. Go support them. One of the things that I really appreciate, especially I'm going back to Crazy Steve for a minute, is that he and I kind of had the same mindset to where it didn't matter how many people were in the audience. It could have been one, could have been seven, could have been 20, could have been 50, could have been 100, could have been, you get the point. We're still going to go out there and we're still going to give people a show. And that's the thing, is that we want to not only be there for the show to watch these people go to, but we want to go out there and when I say the wrestlers want to go out there and perform for anybody that's there. And we as fans, we just got to give them the due respect that we would give anybody else. We cheer, we boo, we chant, we sing songs, we do whatever it takes. Show that we appreciate everything they do. And that is something that I've been definitely trying to do with APW. And I really do appreciate these guys. So for everybody at APW, I just want to say thank you for the great shows that I got the chance to watch. And I'm looking forward to the next few shows. I'm looking forward to just watching these shows, cheering people, booing people, just being there to have a great time. Because that's what wrestling is really about. It's just having fun with it. So that is the cheap plug. So All Out Pro Wrestling, like I said, Honor of the Fallen, going to be on May 19th at River Falls, Wisconsin. So with that being said, now we go on to the review for TNA Against All Odds. So for this show, and going forward, I'm not going to go into like the whole historical deal where I say like, oh, this is the dates. Is the attendance deal, or like that. We're just going to go right into talking about the show because there's a lot of shows that I've actually done that. I'm here to talk about the show and obviously talk about my feelings about them. So let's talk about Against All Odds, shall we? They started off with a limousine pulling up and you had majority of the members of the Main Event Mafia coming out. You had Kurt Angle, Kevin Nash, Booker T, Scott Steiner, Charmel. They come out. They're exiting the limo. Then they go to another camera shot. Here comes Team 3D in a nice fancy car. I want to say it's a Lambo, but it could be a Mustang for all I know. And then Sting comes in his own car. It's just one of those questions like, well, why is it that Sting came in on his own? Is there dissension between members of the Main Event Mafia? Because they really have been kind of heightening this tension between Kurt Angle and Sting during this time, because Kurt Angle makes a comment where he says, you know, we're going to make sure that the TNA world title stays in the family, and I will ensure that no matter what I have to do. And that really shows in this show. No double entendre intended. We have a highlight package to start off the show in which they highlight three matches, which was the Steiner versus Petey Williams matchup, the match between Booker T and Shane Sewell, and the Main Event matchup, which was the four-way match between Team 3D and Main Event Mafia. Get into that more when we get to it. But let's start off the show, shall we, with the X Division Championship, in which Eric Young takes on the champion, Alex Shelley. Now, for those of you that know, Alex Shelley won the title back at Genesis during this time. Shelley and Saban have been kind of having this ego, this chip on their shoulder, like they're better than everybody else and they don't need to, you know, stand up for the front line, like that. And during this time, Eric Young actually picked up a victory on Alex Shelley in a tag team match, which Alex Shelley said, okay, you beat me here. Why don't you face me one-on-one against the odds? Eric Young says, I'll do it. But you got to put your title on the line and you got to make sure that Chris Sabin does not get involved. And they made it official. So It was kind of a quick booking deal. But at the same time, hey, it puts Alex Shelley on the card and Eric Young. He's fun to watch this. So, how was the matchup itself? Well, honestly, it was a really good opening matchup. We have Eric Young hitting a Jericho-style dropkick where he leaps from the ropes and knocks Shelley off the apron. We get a slingshot dive. Shelley pushes Young into the post, followed by a apron diving knee. Eric Young tries to do another dive, but he hits the guardrail instead of Shelley. Shelley focuses on the ribs with a dropkick and then a deathlock and the kitchen sink, which is a knee to the stomach. Eric Young flip, but Shelley's able to hit a high knee to the back of Eric Young, weaking him down. Eric Young does a splash attempt into the post, but unfortunately, there's nobody there. He does a huge like flip bump, and it's just a nasty fall to the bottom. Just, jeez, it's like Eric Young does these like Norman Smiley spots, and they look good, but they also look really painful. Alex Shelley does some corner attacks, basement dropkick, a cobra clutch over the knee, which I thought was kind of interesting because it reminded me of when Big Show used to do that, where he did like a cobra clutch and he placed him onto his knee. We get a flapjack by Eric Young, inverted atomic drop, and then an attack to the back. And then just clotheslines Alex Shelley to the point where he goes inside out. Alex Shelley hits a top rope jawbreaker. Eric Young hits a springboard leg drop. He goes for a moonsault but misses. Shelley hits a super kick and then the wave of the future, which is a version of the Sister Abigail. This spot was one of the two highlights of the matchup. So Eric Young, he counters a sliced bread, and then he's able to make it so he gets into that wheelbarrow position, goes for the Youngblood neckbreaker, but Alex Shelley's able to counter it to hit a standing sliced bread. I literally saw that and I was like, holy cow, that was awesome. Eric Young goes for a top rope Youngblood neckbreaker, which I thought that would have been amazing. But instead, Shelley counters it into a Rey Mysterio-style bulldog. Then Shelley goes to the top rope, hits a frog splash. We see Shelley eat the turnbuckle by Eric Young. It looks like he goes for like a Death Valley driver from the top, but he makes Shelley eat the turnbuckle. But Eric Young gets distracted by the referee. Shelley rolls up Eric Young for the 1-2-3. Shelley retains. Honestly, I gave this one a B. If they would have just cut that last part out where Shelley won with a roll-up, I would have given that a quality deal. But it was that last part that it just kind of brought it down. Because the way that finish happened, where it was the Bulldog, Frog Splash, I thought that was perfect. I thought you had two really good spots in this matchup, and the ring psychology between these guys was great. It was just that finish, it fell flat, and that's what kind of affected it. It was close to that A. Had they not done that finish, it would have been an A. So we have Joel Zumaya from the Detroit Tigers at ringside. Why not? JB is backstage with Kurt Angle. Any questions? Kurt's comment about winning the championship no matter what. Kurt Angle first talks about how JB competed for Homecoming King, because that is relevant to this. But basically said that unlike you, we're winners. And that they have to push each other to prove that they are the best. And they're going to push each other to prove who the very best between the two of them is. So I thought, okay, other than the whole homecoming comment, that was a pretty good promo. Up next, we have Scott Steiner taking on Petey Williams. And this matchup came about after Petey Williams was assaulted by Scott Steiner. And Petey Williams came back. He wants revenge. So that's why this matchup is happening. In all honesty, it makes perfect sense. Scott Steiner is just showcasing his strength first. He's just tossing Petey around left, right, and center until Petey Williams hits a missile dropkick to get the advantage, a baseball slide. He hits a jawbreaker and then a spin kick. Scott Steiner hits a top rope belly-to-belly suplex early in the matchup, to which I thought, oh, wow, this is This is going by a little bit faster than I thought it would. After that, there were fans that were chanting, "You still suck," to which I was like, oh my gosh, he does not. And Scott Steiner is doing great right now. Scott Steiner hits a clothesline, hits the elbow, which you know what that means. He hits that elbow. He's doing the push-ups. Scott Steiner does a counter to the tornado DDT, hits a belly-to-belly, and fans are just saying that Steiner is boring. Again, he's not. Shut up. Scott Steiner hit a top rope complete shot, which surprised me, and then there came a point where he's just yelling at the fans, telling them, like, yeah, I'm boring, huh? Shut up. Petey Williams hits a boot to Scott Steiner to knock him down, hits a cross body, tornado DDT, a bulldog diving headbutt. Scott Steiner counters the destroyer into an Alabama slam. It's always really fun to see that. Petey Williams hits a sling code breaker. Petey Williams, oh, this was a good spot. So Scott Steiner thinks that he threw Petey Williams into the post. And then Petey Williams sees that Scott Steiner is looking the other way because Petey stopped himself. So he just decides, you know what, I'm going to play a little possum here. So he makes it look like he hit his shoulder. Scott Steiner comes over thinking like, oh, I got the advantage. But Petey Williams gets a roll up for a close win. Hits a sling Hurricane Rana. Oh, he goes for the sling Hurricane Rana on Scott Steiner. But Scott's able to counter it into a powerbomb. It actually looked like he also grazed Petey Williams' arm onto the apron. We get a Steiner recliner, which Petey Williams is able to get to the ropes. Scott Steiner pulling out the Steiner screwdriver out of nowhere. It looks a little slower than what it was, but honestly, it still looked safe enough, and it looked really brutal. He hit the Steiner screwdriver, for the win. Scott Steiner, pick up a win for the Mafia. I give this one a B. Honestly, this was a matchup that a lot of people were saying was boring, nothing was happening. I thought the storytelling between these two guys were really good, and I think that's what saved this matchup. The moments itself, fun. This was not one of those matches where I thought, oh, this sucks. It's like, no, they're telling a really good story. How Scott Steiner, he's an overpowering beast, but Petey Williams is showing that he has a lot of heart. And the only reason why Petey Williams lost was because Scott Steiner just kind of outsmarted him, really. It was obviously once he hit that powerbomb on the outside, that was where the writing was on the wall. Scott, after the matchup, he says, "Don't chant for me, white trash." And he says that this is how Big Papa Pop gets the job done. Now I'm going to show you how I finish the job. It looks like he goes for an avalanche fallaway slam. Looks to do another Steiner recliner. Samoa Joe's music hits. Samoa Joe says that he will be the first of the five sins that he commits. Basically saying Scott Steiner is the first one to see his Nation of Violence. And oh my God. So, yeah, this is something that wasn't really pointed out to me until I saw another review where they showed the whole Samoa Joe face paint deal that he does. It literally looks like a crooked dick. I'm sorry. It does not look good on him. It didn't make sense to have that on him. I understand. If they would have made some kind of like deal like how they did with Umaga, that I could get. But I just cannot take him seriously after seeing that now, because it's just, it's dumb. It's really bad. Mike Tenay and Don West, they do a little match card rundown. Mick Foley is basically going to present the title to the winner of the Fatal 4-Way matchup. Mick Foley and Sting are backstage with JB. Mick bashes on Kurt Angle, basically saying like, I wouldn't want to have, you know, Kurt Angle win because he's a blah, 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 blah. And Sting is just like, hey, man, don't do that. Mick's just like, okay. He shows respect to Sting. Sting shows respect to Mick Foley. Sting agrees with the Kurt Angle statement and says that in the end, the title will stay with the family. And then once tomorrow hits, it's all about respect. Up next, we have Oh, geez, what a waste. We have Brutus Magnus taking on Chris Sabin. Brutus Magnus made his debut on the previous Impact, defeating Shark Boy. Damn it, Shark. I'm so sad. So he basically states that he wants more competition, so he sent out an open challenge. Chris Sabin answered that challenge. They have a moment where they kind of forget to add Chris Sabin's music with the Tron, so it's like Brutus Magnus's music is playing while the Motor City Machine Guns music, Titan Tron, is playing in the background. It's just weird. Fans are chanting USA. They're also chanting Fire Russo, shut the hell up. It's a weird kind of Fire Russo, shut the hell up, Fire Russo, shut the hell up. I guess there were some people that were Magnus fans. Magnus hits a high knee. We get a Chris Sabin inverted atomic drop, springboard clothesline. This was a cool spot. This was probably the coolest spot of the match. So Chris Sabin goes for a sunset flip. Magnus is able to roll and is able to pick up Chris Sabin into a powerbomb and hit the powerbomb. Chris Sabin hits a dive on the outside. There's a point where I don't know what the hell happened with this, but Magnus grabs the referee to kind of be a shield, and then Chris Sabin, who's on the top rope, gets knocked down by Brutus Magnus. Brutus Magnus hits the Piper's Pit, which it will eventually be called, for the win. Honestly, it does not look as good as how Ronda Rousey does it, in all honesty. But that is how Brutus Magnus wins. This is a very short, sweet matchup. I gave it a C. There was nothing really to say about this matchup. It was just added on, I think, just so that they could have an even 8-match card, I guess. Just, this matchup did not need to be on here. Honestly, they could have just put more minutes on the main event or on a different matchup. But this matchup is definitely not the worst. That is soon to come. Lauren is backstage talking with Team 3D. 3D knows what needs to be done, that no matter what happens tonight, they will always be a better team. Basically, it's one of those situations where they say that, you know, yes, we're going to be fighting each other, but we're going to be stronger after this matchup is over. Ray says that D-Von is dead on the balls about everything that he says about them being a better team after this. After winning all the titles as a team, can either one of them do the same thing on their own? And that was the thing that was really the build-up for this, is that can these guys do well as singles competitors, as they have been great tag team competitors? Say that Dudley blood is thicker than water. I gotta pop out of that for reasons. But then they decide that they're gonna go talk to Sting. Fair enough. Up next we have ODB versus Awesome Kong for the TNA Knockouts World Championship. This matchup came about because Awesome Kong was originally supposed to fight Christy Hemme at Genesis, but unfortunately Christy Hemme suffered a neck injury, so they had a 6-knockouts tag in which ODB picked up the winning fall in that matchup, so that's why she is getting this matchup right here. Now, Jim Cornette on Impact said that the Kongtourage is going to need to be out of ringside. It's going to be ODB versus Awesome Kong one-on-one. That is literally it. So when the Kongtourage, or as Scott Steiner likes to call him, Kongfucius, I refuse to call him anything else beside that because it's amazing. Jim Cornette, he comes down to ringside and he is saying, hey, no, I was not just saying that just to say that. You either walk up the ramp, let these two fight, or I can literally take the title from Kong and give it to ODB. And he started like this upward countdown deal to where basically they got to the count of 10. Otherwise, Kong was going to be stripped of the title. And they left. Jim gets goozled by Awesome Kong until ODB attacks. We get a bulldog early from ODB. Kong locks in a bear hug. Misses a splash. ODB does a slam on Kong. Then a Kong impact buster out of nowhere for the 1-2-3. Awesome Kong retains. this matchup was a D. This was not their best matchup. I was sorely disappointed in this matchup because the way that they really built this up was that it was going to be a fight between two titans and two knockouts that were going to just go balls to the wall, literally destroying each other. Unfortunately, that is not what we got. We got a schmoz match. It just was, unfortunately, it was not good. It was not good at all. Sting and Team 3D, they're backstage. Rey is confronting Sting about the beatdown that they had where when the Main Event Mafia was beating down Rey, Sting kind of left. So it was one of those things where it's like, I kind of respect that you did nothing, but I don't respect the fact that you did nothing. Essentially like that. Mafia stands for ego, and Sting stands for respect. After that whole conversation's over, Sting's being told that Kurt Angle wants to speak with him. So that's where that will be leading off to from there. Next up, we go to the TNA Legends Championship. Oh my gosh. Sane Sewell versus Booker T. Why in the name of all that is good do we have this matchup? This was... They could have put somebody else in here. Honestly, they could have put Chris Sabin in here. I think Booker T and Chris Sabin would have had a better matchup. Because all this is Booker T doing a couple strikes until Shane comes back with fire up, come back, hits his bulldog. He gets tripped by Charmel. Booker T hits the axe kick, and that's it. Booker T wins. This was a bad matchup. This is not one of those things where I like giving it this rating, but I gave it an F. This was a huge failure of a matchup. It felt like it was just a placeholder until we get to the next challenger, which it gets answered right here, ladies and gentlemen. Booker T calls Shane Stool. He threatens to attack Shane, but out comes the returning phenomenal AJ Styles. Apparently, he was off of TV for about a month due to an injury that was at Genesis. I think there was a spot that just kind of took him out for a while. But AJ comes back. He talks about growing up dirt poor, but had a dream to be the best wrestler in the world and to be a legend. And he says that a legend doesn't have a big house, the best cars, the most cash. A legend is determined by the fans coming out there and knowing that he gave them everything. Basically, AJ Styles believes that he is a legend and he is challenging Booker T for the Legends Championship. And that is what we're going to be getting at the next show, Destination X. So essentially, this was just a matchup just to be there for Booker T and just to have this big moment. Again, they could have had somebody else. They really could have. Matt Morgan is backstage with Lauren, who Matt Morgan said that he was recovering from a strep infection that was in his shoulder. But he said that tonight is not about Lauren Abyss. It's about Matt Morgan. He picked Abyss to be tag team champions with him, but he claimed that Abyss screwed up. He even called him semi-retarded, which I thought, okay, that's not necessary. But he also threatens to injure Lauren if she comes down during the matchup. Basically, a situation where he believes that he's going to beat up Abyss so bad that if Lauren comes out, he's going to do the same thing to her and literally lie her right next to Abyss. So he's definitely getting this kind of misogynistic styling kind of heat with him. I don't know what it is. Matt Morgan is not fully convincing me, but he's at least trying, and I at least respect that. So we go to the next matchup, which is Matt Morgan versus the Monster Abyss. Both of them exchange turnbuckle smashes on each other. Morgan gets crotched on the top rope because he tries to go for a boot. We get some in-crowd fighting from these guys. A couple of fans are just yelling at him. Yeah, this is good. Abyss throws weapons in the ring. And when I say throws, he's just tossing chairs and trash cans and throws the bag that he brought out to the ring. Just throwing everything that he can. Abyss gets distracted by everything that's going on and gets hit by the carbon footprint by Matt Morgan. Morgan hits the corner back elbows. boot onto the ropes, and then he does a leg drop, taker style onto the ropes, onto Abyss. Hits a cross body, a drop kick. Matt Morgan is very athletic for a guy his size. So that is one thing that I definitely think is positive when it comes to Matt Morgan. He leaps out to the... Oh, man, this was another cool spot. So there's a point where he runs the ropes. He leaps up, and he's able to land onto the apron on the outside and then does a stun gun to Abyss. I thought that was cool. He counters a choke slam attempt. They do a double line spot where they both go down. Abyss, he's doing a comeback. Hits Matt Morgan with a very awkward-looking side slam. Now looking at it, I think it might have been for the fact that he was trying... Matt Morgan was just trying to make sure that his injured shoulder wasn't going to get hurt. Referee gets splashed by Abyss. Matt Morgan does a chair shot to Abyss. Abyss hits a pretty sloppy choke slam onto Matt Morgan, which again, looking back on it, maybe it was because of Matt Morgan's injury. I'm not sure. Abyss gets crotched by the chair. No DQ because I guess the referee didn't see it. Something like that. I don't think he saw it. I think that was it. Matt Morgan hits a choke slam onto Abyss, onto a chair. Again, I guess the ref didn't see it. Matt Morgan, he pulls the referee in front of him, and Abyss just smokes the referee unintentionally. It's one of those things where it's like, geez, Rudy Charles, you are just taking it. Abyss hits a black hole slam. Again, it was another sloppy deal. Slick Johnson comes out, 1-2, near 3 count. But then Matt Morgan, while Slick Johnson is distracted, hits a low blow. And I'm thinking, okay, here comes the finish. And Abyss hits another black hole slam for the 1-2-3. And this matchup is over. Another match where the finish fell kind of flat. That's a C-quality matchup. But also, I think because of the fact that Matt Morgan was working a bit injured, might have hurt the matchup there because there were a couple spots that looked a bit sloppy for Abyss. So, again, I don't know if it was because of the fact that he was still recovering from his strep infection. But it was just one of those things where I was like, something is not clicking here. Maybe these two just don't have it. You know, there were some moments of good. There were. It's just something felt a little off about this matchup. I think that's probably one of the best ways to describe this entire night is that there's just something off. It's not the best. It's not the worst. But there's just something that it's like, something doesn't feel right. Backstage, we have Kurt Angle talking to Sting, basically telling him, don't trust Brother Ray and D-Von. They don't know what they're talking about. We are truly a family. We'll be stronger than ever. And after the match is done, we're all about respect. Kurt offers his hand. Sting shakes it. They hug. Sting leaves. And Kurt tells Kev, hey, keep an eye out on him. And now we're seeing that there is dissension in the ranks. And it's because of Kurt Angle? Well, just you fancy that. In your semi-main, you have the TNA World Tag Team Championships as Lethal Consequences Challenge, Beer Money Incorporated. Now, Lethal Consequences had the title for a quick cup of coffee until Beer Money won the titles back at Genesis. So, we had one or more contenders match between Lethal Consequences and Abyss and Matt Morgan, in which Lethal Consequences won. So they get the rematch right here. On the Friday before the pay-per-view, we see Lethal Consequences be attacked by Beer Money, and Consequences create his arm gets just focused on during that matchup. During the entrances of Lethal Consequences before the show on Friday or Thursday. It would be Thursday night, but I don't know why I'm saying Friday. So Lethal Consequences coming in with Creed having an injured shoulder. So keep that in mind during this matchup. Beer Money, they come out with a longer Boozer Cruiser in which not only is James Storm riding it, but also Bobby Roode, he is riding on it as well. They're kind of like connected like a locomotive deal. I thought that was really cool. We have not one, but two Spagingo back body drops from Jay Lethal to Roode and to James Storm. shout out to the Ruthless Aggression Podcast, American version. We get a double dropkick times two to Beer Money. Creed hits some slams, a hip toss, and a leaping elbow to Bobby Roode. This was honestly probably one of the best spots of the night. This was funny. So they get Bobby Roode in a tree of woe, and they have James Storm do a corner splash to Roode. They trip up James Storm, and they do like the whole deal where they grab the legs and pull the person into the ring post, but instead of the ring post, Storm's crotch meets Bobby Roode's head. So they get to that spot, and then Bobby Roode teeters over, boom, his crotch hits James Storm. They do a 69. They're doing the whole, oh, no, we touched the dicks with our mouths. Damn it. Oh my gosh. I'm 33 years old. I'm laughing at dick jokes. What are you going to do? So Roode and Storm, they're on the outside. They're basically trying to clean up their mouths. Storm is got a beer in his mouth. He's spitting that out. And then there comes a point where Roode gets beer in his mouth. And James Storm, he just kind of is like, hey, you okay, buddy? You okay? Roode just looks up, spits in James Storm's face. And Storm's like, oh, what the hell, man? I was like, oh, my God, this matchup is just too entertaining. What the hell? We see Jay roll up Bobby Roode back into the ring, but Roode made a blind tag to James Storm. So Storm, as Jay Lethal is doing the roll up, bounces off the ropes and hits a bulldog onto Jay Lethal. I legit thought, wow, that's a really good spot. We get a tandem teaming elbow drops by Beer Money, where one elbow bounces off the ropes, another elbow bounces off the ropes, another elbow. We get a spinebuster backstabber combo by these two guys. And honestly, I thought to myself, wow, this is a precursor to the Dirty Dogs, where Dolph and Roode do the spinebuster into the zigzag. So this was kind of cool. We get a double superplex by Beer Money to Lethal. Then we have the Beer Money cheer, where they put their heads down, shake their arms, step their feet, Beer Money. I think this might be the first time that I've seen them do this. I could be wrong. But Jay Lethal is able to tag in Consequences Creed. He comes in, hits a double honor roll, which I think is an awesome move for him. A crossbody by Creed. Creed goes up again. Jackie Moore is distracting Consequences Creed, which allows James Storm to push Creed into the turnbuckle, into the guardrail. There we go. And Beer Money is working on the arm of Consequences Creed throughout this deal. They wear it down until they get a tag in to Jay Lethal. He comes in, does his hip toss, cartwheel dropkick, hits an enziguri, hits an elbow drop from the top rope. Just great action. We see Lethal do like a kind of side headlock to a Roode. Jackie comes in and she gets a spooking go for her troubles. I thought that was awesome. Lethal hits a lethal combination onto Roode. We get a double flapjack to Roode by Lethal Consequences. Lethal, he goes up for the monkey flip on Roode. While the referee is distracted though, James Storm, who has slipped a chain to him by Jackie, wraps it with his fist, clunk, hits Lethal in the head with it. Roode covers Lethal, grabs a handful of tights for the 1-2-3. Roode and Storm retain the tag team titles. This matchup, I gave a B because it was another one of those matches where it was starting to get really good and the finish kind of felt a little flat. I think there were still some spots in there where it were kind of, No, it's a high B. It's a high B, very close to an A. I would have also made the comment that this would have been my match for the night, but I think that Shelley, I I want to say Shelly and Young was the match of the night, but I think I'll take the tag team title match first and then the X Division title. So, but it was still a fun matchup. I think that these guys went out there and they had a really great time. The chemistry between them is not on par with like Beer Money and Motor City Machine Guns, but at the same time, it was still fun. We get to the main event, and it's the TNA World Heavyweight Championship Fatal 4-Way matchup, where we have Brother Ray versus Kurt Angle versus Brother Devon versus Sting. Matchup came about because Brother Ray came back, and he and Devon made a goal that they want to fight in singles competition. For Devon, he wanted to fight Kurt Angle. Brother Ray, he wanted to fight Sting for the world title. Jim Cornette's like, yeah, we're not going to do two singles matches. Instead, we're going to do a fatal four-way matchup. And it ultimately boils down to, we know that Team 3D can get along. Can the same be said for Sting and Kurt Angle? So that is the question being answered here. We have Devon and Ray getting the advantage early. Devon hits a shoulder tackle onto Kurt and then a Thez press. Team 3D, they hit a double shoulder tackle to Kurt Angle, as well as a double clothesline to Sting. Both of them attempt to pin Kurt Angle and Sting after both of these moves. And I put down, nobody breaks them up at first, meaning that Brother Ray, Brother D-Ron, they don't break each other's pins up. And to be honest, that doesn't happen throughout the entirety of this matchup. So it was kind of one of those things where I'm like, huh. So they are literally like, it doesn't matter which one of us wins as long as the title is off the Mafia. I thought that's a good storytelling point. And it kind of plays into something else in a bit. They do a little dozy-do to the Mafia, where Mafia is like, oh, we're going to throw you into each other. And then they're like, oh, spin your partner around and around. Nope. Mafia gets taken out. So Team 3D, they do a classic deal where they do their friend handshake deal. And after they get that done, Brother Ray just falls to the ground and Devon goes for a cover. 1-2, but it gets broken up. It was one of those things where I'm like, oh my God, this is almost like the finger poke of doom. Only somehow this was done better. And I know that Mick Foley, who was on commentary, said like, oh, I don't think the fans would have liked that to be the finish. So it was one of those things like, I don't know. I think as long as the Mafia doesn't have the title, I think it'll be fine. But I could have been wrong. We have the 3D.2 to Kurt Angle, a double flapjack to Sting. Then Brother Ray and Brother Devon, they kind of do some wrestling holds to each other. During this point, we get an ECW chant, which I thought was cool. Then the two of them kind of, do some strikes to each other. Both hit each other with a scoop slam with neither one of them selling. And then they do a double clothesline to each other, no selling. And fans are just kind of eating this up. They're just like, oh, yeah, these guys, yeah. And to me, I'm like, it's not anything I haven't seen in the past. But at the same time, there's something about this that is different. Maybe it's because of the fact that it's earlier on in 2009. Where people are not doing this much in the way of no-sells. So maybe that's one of the things where I'm like, I'm kind of being lenient on this. Yeah, excuse me. The Mafia, they attack Team 3D. We get a point where Kurt Angle and Sting collide heads in the matchup and Kurt Angle gets busted open. Team 3D, after beating down Kurt Angle and Sting, both lock submission maneuvers. Ray locks in a figure four to Sting, and Kurt Angle gets locked in a Boston Crab by oh man, I'll explain in a minute why I'm laughing, but Devon locks in a Boston Crab to Kurt Angle, and during this deal, Kurt Angle tries to pin Sting as he's being locked in the Boston Crab. And Sting's able to kick out. He tries to do this twice. Once while in the maneuver and another time while he's not in the maneuver. I thought that was kind of like, so Kurt Angle hits an enziguri to Rey. Then we get Sting, Kurt Angle. They're fighting each other in this matchup. This is where I really started to see, like, okay, this is where the dissension's really beginning, because I'm noticing more that Kurt Angle is focusing on Sting than on Rey and D-Von. And Sting is kind of like going for everybody in this one. And of course, Team 3D, they have their own kind of deal. We see a Stinger splash by Sting. He looks at the Scorpion, but Kurt Angle's able to counter it into an ankle lock attempt. Kurt Angle hits an angle slam to Sting. Kurt Angle gets hit with the saving grace to D-Von. By D-Von, I should say. Brother Ray hits a rock bottom to D-Von. There we go. Then we get a regular DDT by Sting to Brother Ray. Angle hits with the Doomsday Device. Sting, he counters the 3D attempt by Team 3D and hits a back suplex to Ray. D-Von, he eats a top rope belly to belly suplex when attempting the what's up spot that they normally do. Brother Ray knocks Kurt Angle out of the ring, and that allows Sting to hit the Scorpion Death Drop for the victory. Sting retains, and this matchup gets a B. It's one of those matches where it's not perfect, but at the same time, I had fun with it. And it was just one of those matches that I thought was just really cool to watch, especially when you have so many matches that you could have had, like, either callbacks or really smart spots in there. Like I said, I call back to the finger poke of doom, the smart spot where Kurt Angle's just trying to pin Sting while he's being locked in the figure four. I thought that was another really good spot. Just little minor things that really did kind of make the matchup just more enjoyable. After the matchup, Sting is celebrating. Kurt Angle, he is just pissed. He is just like, GD it. And we have Mick Foley. He comes out and he is presenting the title to Sting, even though Sting already has the title presented to him. He's already got the title belt already. I don't know. It's weird. It's one of those things where I'm like, what the hell? But yeah, no, that's how the show goes off the air, with Sting saying to Kurt, as Kurt's going up the ramp, he's like, we're still family, right? We're still family, right? And that's how it ends. Honestly, guys, this was a B show. Other than a couple of matches, this felt like it was a pretty decent show to watch. Like I said, the Magnus matchup with Chris Sabin, that did not need to be on the show. I had higher expectations for ODB and Awesome Kong. I really think they could have benefited from more time so they could build it up. Shane Sewell, Booker T, that matchup, honestly, should not have happened. It should have been given to somebody else. I know that there was like this deal. I was like, well, Shane Sewell was getting harassed by Booker T, so that's why this matchup happened. Sure, I get that. But at the same time, other than that, there was like nothing that was going to make it seem like, oh, he's going to, you know, Shane Sewell's going to win. Like with Christian Cage, it made sense because it was one of those things like, oh, Christian's career's on the line, so there's probably a good chance that he's probably winning, maybe. With Samoa Joe, he's a credible talent. He's a guy that could have had it. But then you throw in Shane Sewell and it's like, oh, what? He's only had like a couple of matches. And it's been against Sheik Abdul-Bashir. He's not had the chance to really showcase anything. So it's just really, that's one of those frustrating things. But that being said, it was still a good, fun little show. Not the best show, not the best pay-per-view that TNA has had, but definitely a fun show. All right, so next show we'll be covering Destination X. And, man, that's going to be a really crazy stack-filled card. I'm thinking, I'll leave out like the deal. If you want to see what I have on stack for that, you can always look it up on Wikipedia. Yeah, no, one of the best things I can announce right now is that for Lockdown 2009, which will be after Destination X, I will have a special guest co-host on the show, and that is going to be our very own Pretzelmania Mr. Fretz will be on the show, so you have something to look forward to in the near future, ladies and gentlemen. So, with that being said, a couple of short things I want to talk about. I've already talked about the APW show that I will be going to on May 19th, geez Louise. May 18th. Oh my goodness gracious. I am tired. So May 18th, that Saturday, not May 19th. May 19th is a different deal. May 18th, that Saturday, River Falls. UW River Falls is where the show will be taking place. Hapsaw Jim Duggan will be there. It's going to be a great deal. I'll be doing that show. But before that, May 11th, which I think I am going to be doing a show during that week, you'll definitely be hearing my experiences that I had at Water City Wrestling Con. It's going to be a fun show. I mean, some of the names that are on here, you got legends like Tugboat involved with this. You also have Nick Nemeth coming to the show. Legends like Victoria are going to be making her way to the show. And the big name that's at the show is going to be Jake the Snake Roberts. Honestly, it's going to be absolutely great. It's going to be phenomenal. Look up ACW Water City Wrestling Con. Tickets are probably going by really fast, you guys. And I will say that I will be a sponsor for the show. Game Changer Podcast will be sponsoring it. And I do have a couple of tickets. So if anybody wants some tickets to Water City Wrestling Con, hit me up. I can be a hookup. And with that being said, I think that's going to be the end of the show. So feel free to check me out on social media at RealFNGame, where you can check out all the crazy stuff that I talk about with wrestling on social media, as well as on the Instagram. Be sure to also check out my other podcast that I work with, the Game Changer Podcast. I have been picking up episodes for that. By the time this recording is happening, by the time this recording comes out, I will have already recorded the first official episode with Tori Clark, in which we will be talking about the early days of Disney, talking about their movies, and we'll be going through some of the eras and such like that. I've also got a couple of interviews that are going to be coming up within the month of May. I actually just did an interview with Ian Welsh from Central Wisconsin area, where he has done a lot of productions and who has just been honestly a very revolutionary guy. So you get that chance, go to the Game Changer Podcast page, look for the Ian Welsh interview. It is a lot of fun. It is really great. Be sure to also check out the great people at WrestleTic Radio, Kings of the Rings podcast, WrestleMania podcast, and the Young Lions Perspective. Be sure to check out our merch, our Patreon, our Discord. A lot of things that we have to offer you guys as a way to say thank you for supporting us and for us to continue to be the common cure for the wrestling podcast, the most positive cure for wrestling podcast, if I don't say so myself. Thank you guys so much for everything that you have done. Thank you so much for listening in. I will see you guys in the next episode. Oh, it's been a crazy weekend, and it's already going to be a crazy week, I can tell. So, talk to you guys later. Take care. Stay strong.